hypocrites. Jesus doesn't mince his words, does he? He was speaking in that moment to the leader of the synagogue in what must have been quite a dramatic public scene. So can you picture it? The people have gathered together at the synagogue on the Sabbath day to learn about and to worship God. And we're told that Jesus is there teaching, which may have already put the synagogue leader's nose out of joint. This is their domain, after all. And yet the gathered crowd are listening to Jesus and learning from Jesus. So there's a funny power dynamic going on here. And into this scene shuffles a woman, unnaturally bent over. And it's not clear exactly what's caused her hunched posture and prevented her from sort of standing up straight, but it's been going on for 18 years. So presumably she would have been known to most of the people present. She would have been known to the synagogue leaders. These were small communities. And Jesus spots her and he calls her forward. And in the middle of that gathered group, he says to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he gently lays his hands on her. And then, wonder of wonders, she suddenly stands up straight and praises God. It's like invisible chains have bound her in that awkward position. And then suddenly at Jesus' words and his actions, they are released, they fall away. And she's able to immediately stand up straight. Whatever has happened, happened immediately. And with her head lifted high for the first time in 18 years, she bursts out with spontaneous praise of God. What a feeling. What an incredible wonder to see. It would have been so amazing to be in that crowd witnessing this happening. Can you imagine what that feeling was for those who observed this happening? The look on this woman's face as she was transformed. See, I can only imagine that there was perhaps shock and awe and then amazement and joy. The woman is praising God for what has happened to her. She has been set free. But someone watching the scene unfold is not happy. Someone watching the scene is seething with anger. He pretends he's seething with a righteous anger, and perhaps he genuinely believed it was righteous anger, but I'm pretty sure the source was anything but. The synagogue leader is outraged. He is absolutely indignant that Jesus would heal on the Sabbath. After all, the rules state that nobody was allowed to work on the Sabbath. And so he rushed over and he appeals to the people to share his indignation. There are 6 days to work. Come for healing on those days. He wants the people gathered to see what Jesus has done as wrong. He wants them to side with him against Jesus. He is, after all, the synagogue leader. He's the one in charge. And Jesus turns to the synagogue leader and to those who are taking the same stance as him. And he says to them, "You hypocrites. You hypocrites." He says to them, "You're all very happy to kind of untie your animals and lead them to water when they need it on the Sabbath. When it suits you to be flexible with the rules, you're happy to flex. If it's okay for you to untie your animals and lead them to water on the Sabbath because, you know, that's what they need, then surely it is more than okay for this woman, this daughter of Abraham, who has been bound for 18 years to be untied from her bonds and to be set free on the Sabbath." The synagogue leader tried to whip up the crowd against Jesus, but Jesus stood up to him. He exposed their hypocrisy, and he also subtly widened the story that he was telling too, because this actually is about more than just one woman who has been bound for 18 years and is now set free from those bonds. He called attention to the fact that this was a daughter of Abraham. Abraham, to whom God made the promise that he would make his descendants a great nation and they would be his people and he would be their God. He's putting this woman's story into the wider context of the people of Israel, Abraham's descendants, God's own people, the people of the promise. He's pointing to this woman's bonds and her story of being set free and praising God and saying, see how this echoes the story of the people of God. The people of God have found themselves bound before as slaves in Egypt, and God acted to set them free. He brought them into the promised land so that they could live their lives in gratitude, praising God. And now the people of God have once again found themselves bound, living under Roman occupation, longing to be free. And in Jesus' words and actions, as he frees the woman from what has bound her and releases her from her infirmity, frees her to stand up and praise God, Jesus is saying, pay attention. Pay attention, because God is here. God is in this. God is setting people free. A few chapters earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus sat in a synagogue in Nazareth, and he read from the book of Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the people who were in that synagogue listening to him on that day then drove him out of town. In fact, they nearly drove him off a cliff, but he was rescued from that situation. And then the ruler of the synagogue where he healed the woman, he would have had the crowd in the synagogue do the same thing. They wanted the crowd to rise up against Jesus because Jesus was threatening their religious rule and order. You hypocrites, Jesus said to them. And the crowd can see it too. They aren't fooled by the synagogue ruler. They had just witnessed something amazing. They had seen a hunched woman stand tall for the first time in 18 years and praise God at Jesus' touch. They were delighted by Jesus and by what he was doing. Jane Williams, who's a wonderful theologian, says of this passage, the presence of God there in the synagogue, freely offered to an utterly unimportant woman. It gives them all hope. Perhaps worship is not a matter of rules laid down and interpreted by someone else, but is more like the joy and praise pouring from this woman. Perhaps this is what the Sabbath is really about: worship and freedom, not endless worry about whether you've broken some obscure rule without knowing it. There was a tangible difference between the religion being peddled by the synagogue leader here and that was being preached and demonstrated by Jesus. There was a tangible difference between the religion being peddled by the synagogue leader and that which was being preached and demonstrated by Jesus. Now, Jesus seemed to have clashed a fair bit with the religious leaders of his day. There are numerous accounts of when his words and his actions were considered dangerous by religious leaders because they threatened the religious order of the day. And we may not live under Jewish law anymore. We may be the people who have been set free and are followers of Jesus. But we still have plenty of ways in which we bind ourselves and others by religious rules. There is still plenty of scope for hypocrisy like this within our Christian communities and within those who lead us. And I say this acutely aware that I am one of those people. And so what we need to learn is how to discern what is going on. When we look around today and see what is going on in the church, and I mean this in the widest sense, we need to seek and discover that true religion. We need to be able to spot that hypocrisy of our day and learn how to challenge the religion which is hollow and empty, where people are kind of puffed up with self-importance and leaders grasp and wield power at the expense of the vulnerable and those in need. And we need to be looking for where God is present and active, where Jesus continues to bring freedom and healing for broken people, where the seemingly unimportant are valued, and where praising God is the natural response to what is going on. And when we discover God at work in big ways and in little ways, we can rejoice. We can pour out our praise of God alongside this woman in the account who experienced God's healing and freedom, alongside the crowd who were witnesses to this amazing act and saw what Jesus did. We can pour out our praise along with the many, many people who have seen God at work in their lives ever since that time. As Bridget encouraged us early, we can look at our lives, we can see where God is at work, and we can respond with our praise to God. We can learn not to be fooled by the hollow and false religion which is being peddled, but instead look for that transformative religion where God is active, where Jesus is at work, and learn to discern between the two. Amen.